Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm back live in the studio. Hope we're all doing well. Is this the worst Man United transfer window we've had in years? I think I can present a case to you that it is. I also want to know what your thoughts are on the last week. I've been on my holidays. I haven't necessarily been as tapped in as you have. Some of you are at work, college, whatever. You're waiting for Man United news. You're not getting any. What was your thoughts on the week that's gone by? Let us know. It's an 8 o'clock show. It's driven by you. Also, look, some of the drivel dripping down from our manager as well. Michael Carrick speaking positively about a transfer window that's been so shit. The indoctrination of a new manager into the Glazer Ineos regime that infects so much of our fan base. We'll be discussing that. But Carrick speaking positively about a transfer window that we all know is shit. Is he just a puppet? Is this going to work? Also, Simon Stone and other journalists talking about how Mason Mount played so well on Friday night. Are we now being drip-fed that Mason Mount's a solution as a midfielder? It's absolute bollocks, if we're being completely honest. Also, a bit of an after show as well. I've got a story to tell, but it's an after show story. Just incredible. I will tell you about it later on. But look, let's delve straight into it. I'm not going to mess about. I know loads of people are going to have a lot to say because I will be honest. I have been on holiday for the last week. And whilst I did do some, I loved those live shows in the morning. The internet was perfect. The background was amazing. So big shout out to Icos Andalusia. It's a very nice hotel. But yeah, I'm back here now. But that's fine. But I must admit, there was times throughout the week where I wasn't on it as much as I normally am. So tell me about the week. What are your thoughts on United's transfer window? But where I want to start off with is just by saying that I reacted to the Rosenberg result last night, and there was a lot of negativity. There was a lot of people who agreed with me as well, so perfect video for me. I don't play for likes. I think you have to play for honesty, and sometimes you hit and sometimes you miss because that's just the way of the world. But I'm going to hit again, and we'll see if I miss. I think this is the worst transfer window we've had in years, and Ineos are into year two, and they're meant to be doing something different, and they're making it worse. I was looking at our ingoings and outgoings, so I'm not counting goalkeepers. I won't do it on other years as well. We've bought Tielemans and Santos and sold nobody. Well, we sold nobody. So we sold nobody and we bought Tielemans and Santos. Santos and Tielemans were not priority signings. They were way down the list. Santos is a Chelsea bench player and Tielemans is, you know, a Villa player that we got for 35 million because of a release clause. We're very lucky. I like both players, but they weren't priorities of anybody. So we bought two option D signings and we've sold nobody. Let's go last season. Last season, I'm trying to find a summer transfer window that's as worse as this one so far. So last summer we bought Sesko and Bermo Cunha Lemons. That's defeated this summer already. But we also got £40 million for Garnacho, £22 million for Antony. And we set the deal in place for Rasmus, where he's now gone for £40 million as well, because that's when we did the deal. We did a loan with an obligation to buy. So last summer, shit's all over this one because we sold and bought. The year before that, we bought Yoro. We bought Ugarte. We bought De Ligt. We bought Xerxes. We bought Mazraoui. So again, shit's all over this summer in relation to recruitment. But we also sold Mason Greenwood for £25 million, or £30 million, I think it was. We sold McTominay for £25 million. We sold Wan-Bissaka. So again, last year, the year before that, better than this window because we were selling and buying. I'm not saying they were brilliant windows, but they're better than this one. 3 years ago, bought Rasmus, Mount, Onana. People can say that that was actually bad recruitment, but we still managed to sell Alanga, Dean Henderson and Fred for a total value of about 45 million quid. So you could argue that that was better than this summer. The year before that, we bought Antony, Casemiro, Martinez, Eriksen. And we sold James Garner and Pereira for about £20 million. And Eric Bailly was a little bit more. So, yeah, maybe think that's better than this summer. I don't know. And then the year before that, we bought Sancho, Varane, Ronaldo, but we sold Dan James for 25 million. So look, I'm struggling to find a window as shit as this one. On paper, I'm struggling to find a window as bad as this one. And you're going to get people in the chat. I don't know whether they're bots or stupid. I can't figure it out. They're going to go moan bridge, negative, always moaning, this, that and the other. Can I just be really clear to you? One, I don't give a shit. And two, I think you are the cancer that kills this club. I genuinely do. I think if you call people that are calling out the lowering standards of this football club negative moaners, you are the people that sink this football club. And I don't know your age group. I don't know your in-depth knowledge of the football club. I don't know whether you even like football. And maybe you are a bot, but you are the biggest problem. Because you actually think that this summer's good. You actually think there's reason to be positive. When facts absolutely deliver it, like I've just delivered it there. You can't, in the last 5 years, and I've never given any of the last five transfer windows a 6 or 7 out of 10. They shit all over this. So what is it we're meant to be jumping around in the air about? What is it we're meant to be positive about this summer? Because on paper, it is quite factually the worst transfer window we've had in... I don't even know. There will be one that's worse, but I don't even know when it is. So, you know, you can call people moaners. You can call them negative. I'll call you a bot. I'll call you a Glazer Rimmer. Because we can all play little silly name-calling things, but... You're not United fans if you're sat there going, I think this is good. You've got no concept of what Man United is at all. I don't know whether, you know, you started supporting Man United 5 years ago and you think people like Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire are legends. But some of us grew up with proper legends. Some of us grew up when Man United were fighting for titles. And even in the 70s and 80s, the quest was the league title. We've sort of been infiltrated by mediocrity. And they are serving up an absolute festering turd of shit this summer transfer. So far, this is rubbish. They've sold nobody. And that's the one that annoys me the most. I mean, look, Tielemans and Santos are factually not plan A, B, C signings. They're not. They're plan D at best. And that's a failure on the club. Although I think the players hopefully will do quite well, it's still a failure. But the inability to sell people is absolutely embarrassing, especially in a market when it is so inflated. We've sold nobody. And I wouldn't sit there at the end of this season and go, you know what, we don't need to sell anyone. Everything's fine. Everything's awesome. You know, everything with this team is absolutely brilliant. And we've sold nobody because nobody wants our shit, which means we'll have to put up with it again. And it does worry me a little bit, actually. I will bring this in. I mean, look, I don't think Michael Carrick will ever say anything of interest as a Man United manager that's negative. I think he will always say positive things. But this is what he said after the game yesterday. I think we're in a good place. 4 weeks to go until the start of the season, gradually getting some people back as we progress, moving forward. It's a really good direction to go in. I mean, he's smoking something. Fucking absolutely clueless. I'm sorry. And I know he's probably, hopefully, not thinking that. But we're not in a good place, Michael. I really hope you do well. I didn't want you to get the job, by the way. I really did not want you to get the job. I think you stink of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think, you know, the fact that you're bringing Rashford back, he may as well be Ole. Everything you do just reminds me of Ole, and you were his assistant coach. So maybe that's like, you know, there's no coincidence there. But I really hope you're pissed off at home. I really hope you're not happy at home, because... I genuinely think you're miles off if you think we're in a good place. I genuinely think that if you think we're progressing to the start of the season in a good direction, mate, we weren't good under you last season. We just ground out results playing one game a week. You've got to play two games a week. You've got to play Champions League football. You have lost Casemiro and you've bought two players and you've sold nobody. I'm sorry. I genuinely think, and it's not your fault, Michael, I genuinely think you are presiding over the worst summer transfer window we've had probably since Moyes. That was a shit transfer window. I think this might be the worst summer transfer window since 2014, which is why I think it's absolutely festeringly shit. I think it's a steaming pile of turd. I think it's terrible so far. It might get better, but I really do think it's horrific. And then you've got you've also got Simon Stone coming out saying that Mason Mount was very... Simon Stone writes for the BBC. We've mentioned him before. We've had him on the channel. He's a good journalist. And he's saying Mason Mount was very impressive for Manchester United yesterday. Seems to have struck up a good partnership with Andre Santos. Lads, it's fucking Rosenberg. Mason Mount can't stay fit for a week. And now he's the solution for Man United in the midfield. This is the sort of low-level shit you expect at Solihull Moors. You know, you expect it at Stockport County. You know, you expect it against the Championship side that's really trying to stay up but probably going to get relegated. This is a Preston North End mentality. Mason Mount's doing a good job in pre-season in the midfield. But Manchester United, for fuck's sake, he's a number 10. And he's an injured number 10. And now we're talking about him being a bloody midfielder. It's embarrassing. I cannot believe the standards of this football club. Like, you know, I do feel sorry for people on age. I think if you are a certain age, you can't know what you didn't know. But you have to talk about people like Mason Mount and Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire and Marcus Rashford like they are United legends. It makes me sick. I don't have anything personal against any of them, but it makes me sick to think of that quality of player being a supposed United great. Wes Brown's better than all of them. And Wes Brown was predominantly a squad player. John O'Shea's better than all of them, and he was predominantly a bench player. Like, these modern United greats are fucking shit compared to what we used to have. And you could list off so many great Man United players that we used to have, and we're now like, I just don't even get what the direction of the football club is, and I don't even understand why Michael Carrick thinks we're in a good place. We're in a very, very bad place. We're in a very bad place at the moment. There are 5 or 6 weeks left, but God, they need to do something impactive in this window, because I think I genuinely, if you've missed the first few minutes, you need to go back to it. I genuinely think the facts back it up. This is the worst transfer window we've had in years. And the fact that they're trying to, you know, polish it with perfume and whatever else, it's shit. It smells like shit, it looks like shit, it's really shit. You've sold nobody and you've bought nobody. And I like Tielemans and I hope Santos works out, but they're not what they wanted. They're trying to polish a turd. They're trying to pretend, oh, look at what we've done. It's not even what you wanted to do. You didn't want to do it. You told us about Anderson. You told us about Fernandez. You told us about Tchouaméni. You know, you went for Tonali. It's not even the window you wanted. And it's a shit window. You've sold nobody. You've only bought 2 players. It's crap at the moment. And they're trying to PR it into something good. It worries me. It does worry me. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes you need a hero. You need someone to step forward, don't you? And I just think they're not the right people to run this football club. I really don't. And I saw something today as well. It was Frank Era on Twitter again. And he got it completely wrong. He was listing the ins and outs. And he listed Santos, Tielemans, Tinnan Thompson, and I know who it is, Carl Darlow. But then he put outgoings Rasmus Højlund and Mason Greenwood. No. No, you can't regurgitate sales. All right, the money might be landing at different times, but every transfer does that. We won't be paying the Santos fee this summer. Chelsea can't keep counting that Santos deal for the next 5 years. It happens when you do the deal. We sold Mason Greenwood ages ago. If we get another 10 million because he gets sold on, that's got nothing to do with this summer transfer window. That's just money from a deal that we did 3 years ago. Rasmus Højlund's deal was last summer. You can't count that as another transfer again. We've done fucking nothing this summer, basically. You can't go and get, oh, there's an instalment coming in, or, oh, that loan obligation. No. It's when the deal is done. Rasmus Højlund's deal was done a year ago, and Mason Greenwood's deal was done 2 years ago. You can't push them back into now and claim them again. No, that doesn't work. We've sold nobody. We've sold absolutely nobody. And also, I did want to read this as well. I'm going to get into your comments because lots of people are getting their thoughts in. This was from Swedish Rumble, and I like this account. And I've actually spoken about United Cara before. Some people hate it. I just think sometimes in life, this is the way I live it, this is the way I am. Some people sometimes hate the content I do, and sometimes people love the content I do. And I like being that type of content creator, I always have. I don't want to be universally liked, I don't want to be universally disliked, but I just want to say how I feel. And sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't, but the resonating fact is, all I really care about is Manchester United being back where they should be. And so Swedish Rumble basically said, this is the post of the summer transfer window. So I'll read it out, and it wasn't from him, it was from United Cara. Bernardo Silva, Konate, Cucurella, Dumfries, Rodri, Diamande. After finishing second to Barcelona in two consecutive seasons, look at how they're investing to finally get ahead of them, Real Madrid. Meanwhile, Man United have spent 13 years trying to build a team capable of winning the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. When will we sign six or seven in one transfer window to give ourselves a realistic chance of challenging for the Premier League? And you know what? I do read that back and I think it could be one of the posts of the summer. Because as Swedish Rumble said, Real Madrid doesn't always spend big. But if they fall behind and they need to, they will spend big. Same with Man City, same with PSG, but United won't. Brighton has spent more in one summer transfer window than United ever have. And that's apparently a fact. But you still have these Glazerimmers, these bots, who defend it without saying moan, bridge, negative and all that bollocks, which doesn't mean anything. Defend this club's mentality to trying to make Man United great again. Defend it. Come on, I want to know how this works, because we don't need to pay big wages. I think we do. We don't need to pay big transfer fees anymore. I think we do. I genuinely think we do. But defend this shit summer. Defend the shittest summer transfer window we've had in 13 years. Go on, defend it and explain it. And I get that some people just don't like negativity. I get it. They want to feel positive. But you know what? Sometimes in life, somebody has a bad illness and you can't lie. You can't say, they're going to be okay. I know you really like them. I know they're your friend, but they're going to be okay. Somebody has to step up and say, shut up. Life's cruel. Life's not fair. They're not going to be okay. They're seriously ill and they're not going to be okay. And if you're one of those people that wants to ignore the serious symptoms that Man United have under this ownership and pretend everything's going to be okay, I think you're part of the problem. I think you're lying to yourself. I genuinely do, because that is so true. When Real Madrid fall behind, they go and spend. When Man City fall behind, they go and spend. When Man United fall behind, they go and hide. They don't show any ambition. And then they play on the morons in our fan base by saying, we shouldn't spend big wages. We shouldn't spend big transfer fees. We can do it our way, pulling rabbits out of hats. Well, why don't you want to spend big wages, and why don't you want to spend big transfer fees? Because it's not your money anyway. The reason you don't want to spend big wages and the reason you don't want to pay big transfer fees is because you want to pay off the debt. You want the club to fund the debt. You want the club to fund the debt for the stadium. If Man United was making $1 billion a year and had no debt and had an amazing stadium, they would spend it on Vinicius Jr. They would spend it on Rodri. They would spend it on big players, because they'd go, the club has a surplus of cash. We've got no debt to service. We've got no stadium to build. The club has so much money. Let's spend it on big players. And this is what the financial experts and the morons in our fan base don't realise. They champion the club not spending big wages and not spending big transfer fees. But the only reason they won't do it is because they need to fund the debt. They need to fund a big stadium, and they won't do it themselves. So the club has to pay. You have to pay. So we won't spend big on wages, and we won't spend big on transfer fees, because they want the club to be self-sufficient. But the club can't be self-sufficient because it's crippled by those owners' debts. So we can't spend our money. We have to pay their debts before spending our money. But if we didn't have the debts, unless they were going to take the money out for themselves, which they might do, they'd have no better option than to spend it on players. Man United don't make half a billion of profits every year. But if we did, which we could, why wouldn't you spend it on big players? I think they probably would. But they don't, because they have to service the debt. They have to service the things they want to do. They're hypocrites. They're poison. They're destroying the football club. And it's absolutely right to call it out and say that, as an ambitious football club, why do we never try and catch up? As I said on the show earlier, Arsenal are trying to sign Alvarez, Vinicius Junior, Bruno Guimaraes, and they've just won the league. We're signing Tielemans and Santos, and that's it. And we're selling nobody. We can't compete. We just can't compete. And it's, look, do what you want. I'm not here to dictate and say, follow me, follow my opinion. But don't try and tell me that I should follow your opinion either. I don't think there's a lot to be positive about. I think they employed Carrick because he's a cheap puppet. I'd love to get proved wrong, but I think Carrick is a cheap puppet. I think walking out after a Rosenberg B team win and saying we're heading in the right direction is bullshit. I don't care whether your name's Michael Carrick or Jose Mourinho. I think it's bullshit. I certainly don't think Jose Mourinho would be walking out with two signings that were plan Ds going, everything's moving in the right direction. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would have done it. And look how that ended up. I don't think Ten Hag would have done it. I don't think Amrin would have done it. I don't think Mourinho would have done it. I don't think Van Gaal would have done it. I think it's worrying. We've got a coach that's going, we're walking in the right direction. I don't think we're walking in the right direction. I think it's the worst transfer window we've had in 13 years. Challenge me. I'd love to know one. I think it's absolutely shit, this transfer window. I think it's rubbish. I thought when we got Champions League football, we would show some ambition. And we've shown very, very little so far. There's still time. But so far, I think it's a really, really, really shit transfer window. So much so, I'd say I can't remember one that's as bad as this since Moyes. Because not being able to sell anybody is embarrassing. But I don't think the purchases are anywhere near good enough. And unfortunately, look, I do think Wilcox and Berarda are hindered by the ownership. But, you know, it reflects badly on them as well. And look, Berarda's the guy telling us we're winning the league in the next year or two. I'm not saying it. Can't blame me for that. Sorry, Mr. Kipling says 2023 was way worse. Okay, let's go back to 2023. So the summer of 2023 was worse. I don't think you're right there, mate. I think you might be talking about... Well, look, 22-23. Yeah, so summer of 23. So yeah, 23 was Rasmus, Mount, Onana and Amrabat. And Bielsa. So yeah, in hindsight, they all flopped. But I would challenge you and say, you can't... We're talking about incomings. 60 million on Rasmus, 55 million on Mount, 50 million on Onana and Amrabat. Obviously, we know they all flopped, but the fees were significant and there was a lot of buzz around them. I get what you're saying. But outgoings, Alanga, 20 million. Henderson, 15 million. It's still 35 million of outgoings. Fred also went for 10, 45 million. Telles went for 5, 50 million. We still did about 50 million in outgoings that in 2023. I don't think this summer... No, sorry, mate, I disagree. I don't think you can say that 2023 was a worse summer transfer when than this one, when we did 50 million of outgoings. And at the time, there was a lot of excitement about Rasmus. There was a lot of excitement about Mount. There was a lot of excitement about Onana. So, I don't agree with you. I think with hindsight, you can make a case that a lot of those players flopped. But I don't agree with you that as a summer transfer window, this one's better. We bought two players, mate, and we've sold no one. That summer, we made 50 million in sales and we spent over 130 in purchases. So, no, I disagree with you, unfortunately. Thank you very much for the comment, though. I'm here to be challenged. Let me get into some of your comments. So, we have got an after show as well. Oh, mate, I tell you what. I'm very good at going, this is stressing me or it's a bad thing or whatever, or it's over now. I'm very good at going, stop thinking about it, pick it up and throw it a mile behind you. It's quite a good trick, actually. If something's stressing you or bothering you, or you keep, you know, if you walk to the shops and you see someone, you know, walking the other way and they go, good morning, and you go, yeah, you know, and you cringe inside and it stays with you for the rest of the day. A good tactic is just to think about it and then in your mind, throw it behind you a mile away, and it does take it away from you. This thing that happened to me today, I can't move past it. I'll tell you in the after show. I like Mark, but today's being negative, says Michael. Can we absolutely rinse Michael in the chat? Because I can't deal with that, mate. Michael, I can't deal with that. I've spent 30 minutes explaining to you why we are being absolutely sunk by these owners. Factually, the worst transfer window we've had in 13 years. You are literally polishing a turd. You're eating shit, Michael. And then you call people negative. I call you a bot. I call you a... You know what I think? You know, when I think of you, Michael, I see the Glazer's arse and you're literally... It's too crude to say it. You're a rimmer. So I don't appreciate Mark's being too negative today. What are you positive about? Don't come in with I'm being too negative. What are you positive about? That's where the conversation gets interesting. What is it you are positive about? Then we can have a conversation. I agree with everything you've said, Mark. I'm the same age as you and know the real Man United, but what do we do about it? We can't keep accepting this crap, says Man Plus Guitar. Mate, I think we are one major protest, cancellation of a game, emptying of the stadium away from ruining this football club. But how you do it, I don't know. But I genuinely think that we're in a worse position now than we were 5 years ago. And I just don't know how things are going to get any better. Look, here's your negative person. Go back to the shows at the start of June. I was very positive. And loads of you were saying, mate, you're being an idiot. Why are you being so positive? I was at the start of June being positive. I was literally go and watch the videos, especially the morning shows in early June. I was saying, I don't know why, I'm really positive. I think Carrick is such a risk. They have to back him. Because if Wilcox gets it wrong on Carrick, he's gone. So he's got to make sure he's right about Carrick. To do that, they've got to bring big players in. What's the best way to cover up an inexperienced coach? Give him top quality signings. I was like, they've got to do it. I really think they will do it. Here we are, 6 weeks later, inexperienced coach gets inexperienced Chelsea bench player and Tielemans. It's just not good enough for what Carrick needs. Evening, Mark. I just thought about it. If all our fan base just got together for 4 or 5 games that we get cancelled, we create so many problems. Cancellations of great games. I spoke to Red Devil. I spoke to somebody years ago about this, and I can't name who it is. It's not fair. And they're very, like, you probably wouldn't know them, but they're a very hardcore Man United fan, like Stretford End, you know, involved in a lot of things. And they were like, the only thing that's ever hurt them was the Liverpool cancellation. And it was a shame that it got shown as hooliganism for going on the pitch and stuff like that. But if you can cancel a game in a peaceful way, it destroys the club. And they were right. The Liverpool game cancellation caused a lot of problems, but also people broke into the ground and went on the pitch, which became problematic. But that's the only thing that shit this club up was getting a game called off. Hi, Mark. Welcome back home. Hope the travel was okay. Well, there is a story to be told there, Ryle. What do we do with Rashford, Cunha and Dorgu, has just pasted? Well, from what I'm hearing, Carrick will use Rashford as a star player. He will be not a bench player. He will be a starter at Manchester United. So how does that work? I don't know. But we're not reintroducing Rashford as a bench player. This is, we're basically going back to Ollie. You know, we are going back to, you are one of the star players of the team. So I don't know how that works. I'm not and have never been happy with how the board see pace, the crack, bad cracks are okay with it. With their pockets get full, they don't care, says Hazza. Off topics, thoughts on, yeah, I don't know who that is, Benjamin. Terrible take, still time left in the window, says Rory. Yeah, I literally said there's still time left in the window, but as of now, you're not the brightest, Rory, are you? Nathan Davies says, when we are out of Europe, we invest. Now we're back in no investment of substance. We're watching others get better, says Nathan. Yeah, but Nathan, I'll call that out as well. When we're not in Europe, we spend money to get back in Europe. When we are in Europe, we don't spend the money to win the league. The point still stands. We spend money to get back into Europe, but we won't spend money to try and win the Champions League or the Premier League. So I'm not even going to praise them for spending money to get back in Europe. They buy players to get us back into Europe. Europe's fifth. Europe's fifth place now, isn't it? Oh, we'll spend money to get fifth. What about first, you know? Only window that might be worse is Van der Beek. I don't think it was, mate. Let me go back to the Van der Beek summer. That was the summer of 2021. We bought Van der Beek, Ahmad, Telles, Pellestri, Cavani, and we sold, I mean, it's not great incomings, but we sold Chris Smalling and, well, you might be right, actually. We sold Smalling for about 15 million and we bought Donny van der Beek, Ahmad, Telles. But that was a crap summer, but Cavani on a free transfer probably makes up for that. Look, mate, what I will say is, if you think that's a worse summer, that's absolutely fine. But we're arguing about different shades of shit. We're not even, I'm saying this is the one, this is the worst transfer window we've had since 2013. The last six have been shit, in my opinion, anyway. They're not even, they're losing to shit, you know? Thank you, Anthony. I miss the old days, Arsenal and Man United fighting for the Premier League, says Carl. I'd love us to fight with anyone for the bloody Premier League, let alone Arsenal. TTV has gifted a membership. You're a legend, sir. As media and fans, we need to do better because we're so reactionary. We lost to Wrexham and people were saying Carrick out. Now those same people are saying we're going to win the league, says Jalen. Yeah, I don't take a blind notice about pre-season. I really don't. Sebas says, every year is the same. What's going on? Mount is not the answer to anything, but who will be in the medic room the most? Says Mike. Why are you comparing half a transfer window to full one? Says Julian. Yeah, I feel like we've been infiltrated by thick people tonight. And look, I will say it how it is, but I literally said so far about six times. I said so far, this is the worst transfer window we've had since 2013. There is still time. But you know what I would say, Julian? How much of what we do now is desperation? Where's the planned stuff? Most people have done their planned stuff by now. Maybe we will sign some players in the next few weeks, but where's all the planned stuff? Most clubs aren't fucking about in the last 5 weeks trying to do 75% of their transfer window. Who are we selling? Who are we buying? So yeah, I've acknowledged about five times, Julian, that there is still time to go. Getting briefed about not getting a third midfielder, says Charlie. We will sign a third midfielder. I can say the club's incompetent, but we will sign a third midfielder. HWT says, angry that United haven't signed another player yet. And to rub it even more, I saw a fake David Ornstein account saying we'd sign Tchouaméni. Check out the video this afternoon about Tchouaméni. What I do not understand is how some fans, pundits and creators are being positive about these windows. We are way below standards. We signed backups. Well, Sanchez, I know for a fact that, look, the United Stand, we used to go to Carrington, do interviews. We used to go to pre-season games, get interviews, European games, get interviews. We are the biggest and the best. All the others are chasers and they're trying to close a gap they'll never close. We are very honest on here about our opinions without filter. So I think they think, let's get in with the club. I think that's their angle. I think their angle is, and there's so many of them doing it, let's get in with the club. And I mean, if you want to get into bed with the club, it says a lot about you as a football fan, really. I don't get it, but I know who you're talking about, and I know Yeah, I mean, whatever. Let them do it. But I don't see them as proper United fans if they're not calling out the problems. I said weeks ago this window will struggle to get 6 out of 10, says Ray. Ray Cole, Brown Amore, hope he's doing well. And forget about an 8 out of 10. Here we are at the end of July soon, still nowhere near a 6. Wilcox, Brada and Sir Jim can only save the window if they went in for Vinicius Jr., who is available, Andy, and we won't go anywhere near him. Did we not sell Rasmus Højlund last summer, Mike? You can't claim a deal this summer that you did last summer. The deal with Rasmus was a loan with an obligation to buy. So that deal was done last summer. You can't claim it again. You can't go, oh, he's now gone to Napoli, so let's claim that deal. The deal was done last summer. That's how it works in my mind. You can't claim it twice. I'm not excited for next season at all with our midfield recruitment this summer. Disgusting how people even remotely are okay with this, is Pablo. What happened to 100 million from the top four finish, is Aman? Oh, they've got debts to pay, haven't they? Do you think that they think they have some miracles in the academy? Rooney, etc. Do you think they think they'll save the window somehow? Look, we have got some fantastic young players, Ali. We have, but we don't develop them. Who's going to develop these players? That's the big thing. Like, you used to develop a Beckham with an Ince and a Bruce and a Schmeichel and a Keane. We're trying to develop a Lacey with a Shaw and a Maguire and a Mount. You know, it's a very different way of developing. Have you heard the Orlando Gill to Man United rumour, says David? No. The difference in transfers is we are demanding managers, speaks volumes really, says Paul. Well, look, if Carrick's happy with the window, where's the pressure? You know, if you're going to sit back and go, I'm happy that the fact that you're doing a shit job, where's the demand for standards? Thanks for gifted membership, Garfield. Mark, should we break our wage structure for Vinny? What about player power concerns? Welcome back. Well, we won't do that, will we? We're not going to do that. We're not going to go for big players, but we should go for big players because it actually is exactly what United need. We need quality. And we need buzz and we need excitement. United are words of Goldbridge, slower than my dad Gran, says Ruman. Our net spend is zero if we include wages of the books, says Naveen. And thanks for standing up for us, Mark. So many of us are getting abused for calling out Ineos. Sad it's happening to people asking for more. Look, Uncle Antoine, my only question is what are you excited about? Who are you defending? Why would you defend people who are presiding over a shit transfer window, who have us massively in debt, who are billionaires in their own right, who've got no interest in this football club and no ambition? What is it that's making you positive about them? Because you might hit on something that I go, you know what? They're right. I just want to know the secret sauce to being positive. I want to know what it is beyond blind faith. Just my opinion, but this transfer window has been nothing but a disaster, says Mike. Need to strengthen significantly. We haven't. Anyone saying positive is insane. It's bollocks, says Mike. Can we talk about Sesko's transformation? We've spoken about it, Niki. I don't think it's a big story, to be honest. I really don't. Unless he slows down because he's muscle man, I don't think it makes any. I think it's an irrelevance. Ineos out. Thought we were in for Vinny. Now going for Arsenal, says Andrew. Garfield's gifted 5 memberships. You're a legend, Garfield. You tanned well. Must be the genetics, Mark, says Hamid. It was very, very, very hot in Spain. I mean, bloody hell. Thoughts for Spain. I don't know how we got out. This is a national state of emergency, isn't there, with all these fires and stuff as well. Daniel Thompson says, hi Mark, hope you're well and had a good day. Hope you and the family had a great holiday and safe journey home. Videos are fantastic as always whilst abroad. Thank you for them. I loved doing the morning shows with the background. It was great. Thanks everyone who tuned in. Do we have any idea how long Martinez is out for yet? No, Asher. I presume he's probably gone on holiday. I mean, he might come back fit. People are saying sell Martinez. He might have gone on holiday and be fine now. He's not been back at Carrington, and normally if you get a bad injury, you don't get to go on holiday after your World Cup. I can't remember. It might have been Ben Foster was talking about this. He was saying that third, fourth place game, you don't want to be putting any stupid tackle. You've been away for 5 weeks. You get an injury, you're going straight back to your club for an assessment. You want to go on holiday. So if Martinez is on holiday, he's probably fine. Because if that was a bad injury, they'd want him back at Carrington to assess it. I cannot see us signing anyone from Real Madrid. We've bought cheap so far. This isn't going to change. Coxie is setting Carrick up to fall on his arse, says Mike. Thank you, Mike. It's good to be back, by the way. I'm loving the 8 o'clock show. Hope you're doing very well. A couple of things I want to just touch on here. Do you think the club board watches the show? I don't think it matters. I think Man United spend money assessing social media trends around the club because positive social media leads to shirt sales, factually. So that Rosenberg win yesterday wasn't really about beating Rosenberg. It was about a positivity trend going into the weekend of the release of a new kit that a lot of people will buy. So they do monitor trends, definitely. No way worse than Xerxes, Yoro, Agate window. So Street will never. You don't think this transfer window is worse than the Agate, Yoro, Xerxes window? Yeah, it's people like you that allow this bullshit to continue, mate. So we bought Yoro, Agate, De Ligt, Mazraoui and Xerxes that window. So definitely better recruitment. And we sold Greenwood, McTominay and Wan-Bissaka for a combined value of 60 million quid. So it shits all over it, mate. This summer transfer window is nowhere near as good as that one. Nowhere near. You're talking out your arse. You need to do research. You're so wrong. Welcome back, Mark. I'm getting fed up with the Glazers, says John. Why are we having a huge price difference when it comes to buying and selling players? It's like there are two different markets. Well, we can't pay the inflated fees because we can't sell people at inflated fees. This is one of the biggest, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. One of the biggest problems we've got this transfer window is we can't sell. It's such a good market to sell and we've got no one to sell. Well, we can't sell. There are plenty of people to sell. Jen says, I'm praying Rashford is good because the signings are not ambitious. Get these Pratt owners out of the club. Start showing ambition. Linios says Jens. Look, my biggest concern about Rashford, beyond the fact that half the fan base don't want it, well, it's more than half the fan base don't want him back, is that this is a player we got rid of and now we're pretending he's good enough. You can't have it both ways. You kicked him out of the club because he wasn't good enough and you didn't want to pay his wage. And that was when he was 27. You're now bringing him back at, well, basically 29. He's a player that's about pace. And we're meant to believe that Marcus Rashford at nearly 29 can get back to what he was at 24. It's just very weird to me. And it's obviously because they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. What's with Carrick and Ollie speaking so little about transfers and weaknesses in the team? Please learn from Conte, De Zerbi and show some personality, says Sunrise's Army. Well, they're both just very grateful to the club for giving them a job, if we're being honest. I mean, no one else is going to give Michael Carrick or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a job, are they? They've now got the biggest job in football. So they're obviously very, very grateful for it. And which is why some people say they're puppets. Nick P says, I know no one wants to portion any blame on Carrick, but in a way, is he not as culpable? Sacrificing his integrity for his dream job, what about us? Sat here waiting for the inevitable, says Nick P. Well, look at what happened to Ollie. You know, you can be a club legend and you can end up being in a situation where the fans want you to get the sack. That's up to Carrick, isn't it? Summer 2018, Mourinho was given Fred Dalot grant for 83 million and we received 30 million for Blind, Johnston, Fellaini and got sacked 18th of December, says one and only. Better choice, fans forced the club to sign Marquee, says just Pasty. Would you consider Locatelli? No, I don't think he's the right profile. Well, to be honest, I think he's probably not the right profile, if I'm being fair. I do like Locatelli, but I think probably 4 years ago, not now. Players are worth what clubs are prepared to pay for them. Clubs with ambition pay what is needed to win, says ADB. And whilst I don't agree with Carrick's comments, I think we found out with Amrim that managers can't really say what's on what they want to. The blame for this entire shit show is the board. I would agree with you on that one. Music for everyone. Vinny is apparently asking for 30 million euros per season. That's 577k a week. I don't see Arsenal United signing him, says Perk. And even the season ticket fiasco is disgusting. 100%. 100%. You know, this is what I mean about these people being positive about the club. Learn about the club. It's not just lack of transfers. It's not just the fact it's the worst transfer window we've had in bloody years. It's not the lack of ambition. It's, you know, the fact that Spurs are outspending us. Look at the way they're treating the fans. And still people defend them. Sir Peter says, the issue is many engage in group thinking than be honest. We see obvious issues, but they act as if it's fine until it becomes popular to call it out. Look, the same people who are glazing the new kit and beating Rosenberg and being positive about the window are the same people that after 3 weeks will be shouting Carrick out. Let's get real. Let's get real. Danny says, for you, what's the only way that United can turn the window around now? Bloody good question. I mean, look, I would be looking at salvaging a shit situation. I would get the Kone deal done and then your midfield's done. I would go and get a left back very, very quickly. And then if I've got time after those two deals, I'd be looking at another attacker. And then I'd have to just get out of the window and go, it's not been what I wanted, but I've got five incomings that are significant. I don't think we can rescue it, Danny. I think we've missed too many big targets already. Charlie says, fixtures plus Amazon plus wage saving equals August 31st. Thank you very much, Charlie. You say when we fall behind, we go and hide, but we literally had a terrible season 2 years ago and they reacted by spending in the window. 15th to 3rd, says Rory. No, that was a mate. I don't want to correct you, but you are really crap at trying to put your points across. It wasn't 2 years ago we finished 15th. We finished 15th a year ago and went to 3rd 2 months ago. They didn't spend that much money last summer. They didn't buy a midfielder. They only bought a goalkeeper because their plan didn't work on the last day of the window. But you buried yourself because last summer transfer window was still way better than this one anyway. So I struggle to see what your point is. Icardi on a free for Sesco back up. No, don't do that, Rashid. Again, it's another deal we should have done 5 years ago. I don't trust this club to hire the right people. If Carrick, Wilcox, Berarda get the sack, the time since Sir Alex has gone has taught us that. Pray this works, says Sam. Thank you very much. The only positive is that we fail miserably and Wilcox and Berarda get fired too. I think even if it went wrong, they won't get fired, Sanchez. They seem to be invincible. With what we've done so far, I'm worried for the season. Are you, says Ava? I mean, look, I won't judge it until the transfer window's done and we've got a very easy start to the window. So I expect us to win a lot of games. And you know what some of our fans are like. We saw it yesterday with the Rosenberg result. They think we're winning the bloody league. They're idiots. So when we start beating Coventry and bloody whoever else has got promoted and, you know, we get 15 points from our first five games, people will start winning saying we're going to win the league. We've got a very easy start to the season. The reality will bite in November, December. That's when we'll find out what we're really all about. I think people hate you because you're not delusional and say we're winning the league every single year. Plus, you're very handsome, says Masraoui. Amount of fans that hate watching Milan today and trolling Amorim over friendly performances instead of calling out any of our show's issues with the fans, says Roosh. Morons. Absolute morons. QY says that's exactly why they hired Carrick, because it was any other big manager they would call it out, like Enrico or Jose. Carrick is a yes man. Okay, right, after show time. Harry says, glad to see you had a good holiday and happy you're well. I feel sorry for Xerxes thinking he has a chance to play this season. And Irish Geordie says, Carrick is there because he's easy to discredit. They don't want an elite manager who can see through their rubbish and call them out publicly. Well, thanks for your super chats tonight. If you want to go, you can, but the after show starts here. Right, okay. Oh, my God. It's still doing my head in now. So, flew out Monday morning. 5 days. Flying back this morning, lunchtime. Woke up. The transfer to the airport was at 20 past nine, all booked by the hotel. Yabba dabba doo. I booked the hotel and the flight separately. You can do package holidays, but I like to book through the hotel, because then you can email the hotel, find things out, and book the flights is easy. I've done this loads of times. So I book my flights, I book my hotel, everything's sorted. Transfers from the hotel, because the hotel sorts all that out. Email, la la la. Woke up this morning, gonna get some breakfast before we get picked up. Wake up at 7:30. I've got two daughters who are like uni and sixth form. So they've got their own phones. And I thought, I'm just gonna send them their boarding passes electronically. So I log on to Jet2 Holidays, who have bought the flight through. And it's Saturday today, isn't it? And I look at the boarding passes, 12:20 flight to Birmingham, Friday the 24th of July. And my whole heart drops into my arse because it's Saturday. And I'm like, the doom hits me. It's 7:45 in the morning. We're flying out in 4 hours. And the tickets to fly back with are for yesterday. And I fucking booked them. I got my wife asleep next to me. Everyone else is asleep. And I'm like, what the fuck have I done? How the fuck has this happened? My heart is literally out my arse. I'm like, the fuck have I done? It's peak summer season. These flights will be rammed. How the fuck are we getting home? And I'm like, what am I going to fucking do? So I'm looking at it and I'm going, why did I not get a text from Jet2 Holidays yesterday saying, why didn't you turn up for your flight? Why didn't I get a text from them to say your flight's tomorrow? I'm looking at the text from them. The last one was last week. I'm like, well, then that's not going to help me, is it? They're going to blame me. Like everybody is. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? We're checking out in 2 hours. I'm going to an airport in an hour. In 2 hours for a flight that we're not on. So I'm like, oh my fucking God. I want to throw up. So I get on my phone, find an emergency number for Jet2, ring them up, and I'm like, have you got any flights at all? Have you got any seats at all to get me back to Birmingham on that flight today? And I don't know how, I must have been, somebody up there must have been shining down, because they said, we've actually got 5 seats left. They'll be all over the plane. I was like, I really don't care. I'll get them. Fucking hell. I'm telling you, like, I'm not even over it now. I just, you wake up in the morning and you're like, let me just sort out the boarding passes. And then you see Friday, the 24th of July. I don't even know. And I told my wife afterwards, obviously, because I said, we might not be sat together on the plane. And I told her what had happened. And she took it quite well. But I was like, I don't even know how I've done it. Because we were always staying in the hotel from Monday to Saturday. I don't know why I've booked the flights on the Friday. And I don't know why. I just don't know. And we're back home now. Everything's fine. But I just can't move past it. It's absolutely, it's just, I just keep going back to looking at the flight this morning and going, we've missed the bloody flight. It was yesterday. But also as well, I saw one of the comments on the video earlier. They were saying, you've only been away for 5 days. You need to have a longer holiday. I don't know about you lot. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do... I don't know how people do a week. I don't know how people do 2 weeks. I don't know how they do it. Like, I know Gary Neville calls it a mini retirement. And I think he goes a lot longer than 5 days. 5 days is my absolute limit for a holiday. I can't do it. And it was lovely where I went. I'm going to post some stuff on my Instagram over the weekend. But, you know, 5 days of getting up, lying around a pool, having nice food and drink, it's the absolute limit for me. I just can't do that longer than that. So when people say you need to have a longer holiday, I'd rather have loads of little ones than one. But I know some people have to. But I still can't move past. I keep, people are saying they're living it through in the chat. I cannot keep. I just can't tell you how sick I'm still feeling. I, you know, you wake up on the day that you're meant to be going in a flight that's happening in 4 hours, and you know, I'm a bit tired, but I've had a good sleep, I've had a good holiday, let me just send these boarding passes to my daughters. Here they are, look. What? Friday? I'm sure it's Saturday. Did you enjoy your flight? I wasn't fucking on it. And you know what pisses me off the most? And I don't think I've got a leg to stand on from a complaints point of view. But when we didn't turn up for the flights yesterday and check in, why didn't anyone message us? We could have, like, been murdered. That we still wouldn't reply. But I think that is strange, because when we checked in last week, I had all this last week. You've got free twilight check-in. Just to let you know, our check-in desks open 3 hours before departure. Your flights to Malaga are all booked. Right? Nothing. All week, nothing. When we didn't turn up, nothing. Nothing about check-in, nothing. It's my own, it's totally my own fault. It's totally my own fault. Absolute life lesson, like Vano says. And the reason I'm sharing it is, one, it absolutely fucked me up. And two, just double check. Like, I think I've become lazier as I get older in relation to stuff like that. But fucking hell. I hope nobody's ever in that position again where you're literally 4 hours away from the flight and you realise your flight went yesterday. And you're like in a foreign country in the middle of school holidays and you're thinking, how am I going to get five people home on a flight that's probably booked? So I was thinking two of us might be flying to Manchester, might be a flight on a flight to bloody Gatwick, but fortunately we got on. So it ended up being okay, but fucking hell. Oh, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. Sanchez says, are you a window seat or an aisle seat guy? I prefer the aisle, actually. I'd have took any bloody seat. Andrew says, what would have happened if Jet 2 didn't have another seat then? Well, that was what was shitting me up when I was ringing him up this morning. I couldn't believe my luck when she said, oh, I've got, how many do you want? I went 5. And she went, that's okay. And I was like, fucking get in. Because also part of it was I knew I'd fucked up, hadn't told the wife. Like, my oldest daughter said, I think the best thing you did, Dad, was going out onto the balcony and phoning up and seeing if you could solve the problem first. The worst thing you could have done is wake Mummy up and ask her to help you with the problem. I think that would have probably ended your marriage. And I went, yeah, you learn these things over the years. Definitely do not wake your wife up on the morning you're leaving and saying, I've booked us on the flight for yesterday. Do you want to help me solve it? So no, I was like, this is, I just need to try and solve it myself. And thankfully we did. And Quinster says, it was your granddad looking down on you. I think somebody was looking down on me. Andrew Tan says, you forgot to mention Seb, you left him in Spain. 5, Seb came back. Joe says, I think there is more to the Tchoumini rumours. The fact that Andy Mitten came up with the update despite the here we go on new contract says a lot. Easy hit for him to agree with the masses then. Will we pay up though, says Joe. No, I disagree. You've got Samuel Lookhurst, who, if he gets this right, is the best guess of his career. He works for The Sun, you know. He's not a credible journalist and he's not a credible transfer journalist. And also, what Andy Mitten said is not really news, with all due respect. What Andy Mitten said is that, you know, a deal for Tchoumini could still happen. But, like, we've said that. We said that in March, April, May, June, July, this morning, this afternoon. If Real Madrid say to Tchoumini, we want to sell you, and Man United give Real Madrid a fair price, and then they pay Tchoumini the wage he wants, well, the deal can happen. But that's like saying, if Chelsea say they want to sell Casido, and Man United give him a fair price and give him the wage he wants, that can happen. There's a very different story to Real Madrid have agreed a new deal with Tchoumini and don't want to sell him, and Man United don't want to pay that price. It's a big leap of faith to then go, that's going to happen. But of course, if they say you're for sale, and United put the price forward and the wage forward, of course it can happen. But it's getting a bit old, the story, I think. Thoughts on Everton signing Hackney? I'd be interested to see how he does, Green. Carrick is there because it's easy. I've done that one, Irish Geordie. Yeah. At least you fix problems, unlike the clubs, says Daniel. Don't lie, you would leave Seb if it's 4-6. Mate, right. If anyone was staying behind, it was me. I caused the problem. So I would have been there. Yeah. 100%. But we were very lucky because tomorrow's flight had one seat left. Monday's flight had two seats left. And today had eight. And I don't know why. I think it's because the school holidays only started last Friday. So I suppose a lot of people aren't coming back yet. I think next Saturday we would have had no chance. Oh, it just makes me sick. And then also our flight got delayed by about an hour and a half because of all these fires in Spain that are going on. So look, I'm glad to be back. But it was I had a really good holiday. One of the best holidays I've had, actually. It was really good. Teddy Sheringham! Fucking hell, forgot to tell you. So I went to this hotel on a recommendation from Rory Jennings, who has been on That's Football. And he said when he was there, he saw Michael Owen and Ryan Giggs. And apparently Ryan Giggs was sound, but Michael Owen was a bit of a knob. But look, you know, that's not fair to say because you never know. But when I was there, a few people asked me for photos, and I don't mind doing it. But at the hotel I was at, Lee Martin, who scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final in 1990, he was there. I don't think many people recognised him, but I did. Michael Dawson played for Spurs, he was there. And then halfway through the week, I'm sat in the hotel bar and Teddy Sheringham walked in with his wife. He asked me for a picture, but I said, I'm with the family, Teddy, leave me alone. But no, he looked very well. I didn't speak to him. I'm not like that. You know, I think when people are on holiday, yeah. But yeah, Teddy Sheringham was there. Apparently you get quite a few footballers there. But he looked very well. I didn't get a photo, no. To be fair, I'm mixing with bigger players than Teddy now, and I think he knows that. But it was nice to see. It's always nice to see people. I mean, he scored a bloody goal in the Champions League final, didn't he? You know. Seb could have been waking up in Spain having a Home Alone moment. Rich says, I would love to hijack the Vinicius Junior deal. Yeah, it would be great. What's the hotel? I'm going to do a post about it on my Instagram at Goldbridge Mark because I've got a few photos to do and stuff like that. Okay, anyway, right, I am going to stop now. Nice to bring I normally do bring the after show back for the last few weeks of the window. So, thank you. But I tell you what, I've got to say, I've done shows in New York, I've done shows in Mallorca, I've done shows in Centre Parks, I've done shows in hotels in London. Those balcony, I mean, the background was amazing anyway, with the beach and the bar. But it was flawless. It never dropped out at all. I really enjoyed those. I really did enjoy those. I'll have to put it on the Instagram, the room number I was in as well. I'll write it down. Excuse me. It was very good. Very good holiday. But like I say, I think 5 days is one day too much for me. I think 4 days is my max. I don't know how people can feel refreshed after a week. Like, I go away for 5 days and I'm ready to come home. Bit of sun, nice food, a few drinks, read a book, and then I want to come home. I don't get the 2 weeks thing. But fair play to people who do. But no, feel recharged, ready to go. If you're getting away on holiday, I hope you all enjoy it. But thanks everybody who's, you know, helped us out this week. I was watching the Rosenberg game on the beach bar, actually. Which is probably why my match reaction was a bit harsh. But no, I agree with you, Brickster. I normally do 4 days. That's enough. 4 days is enough for me. Because the problem I have, if I go somewhere like New York, which I don't mention very often, you know, I love those types of holidays. It's not a beach holiday. It's not a sun holiday. The weather's secondary. You know, you have a nice hotel or whatever. You fly in. There's loads of stuff to do. You know, World Trade Center, Brooklyn Bridge, you know, Natural History Museum, Central Perk, restaurants. I like those sort of, I like to be like, tomorrow we're doing this, tomorrow we're doing that. On a beach holiday or a pool holiday, I'm like, so tomorrow is the same as today, but the sun might be a slightly stronger, or we might go to a slightly different restaurant. So that's why I can't do more than 4 or 5 days. I can't do, one of my mates is like it as well. He's like, I can't do poolside holidays. And also, this hotel was really well run. Like, if you left your towels on, like, I don't know where you're from, but we have a real problem, UK culture, where you go on holiday to Spain. A lot of hotels, people go on holiday, right? They've been saving up for this all year. And they go on holiday in August, or late July. They're meant to be having a break. They'll be down the hotel bar till 1 a.m. But then they're up at 6, chasing other people around the pool to chuck a few towels on a bed that they're not going to come back to until at least 10 o'clock. And this is a big problem in resorts all around Europe that English people go to. They're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning on their holidays, earlier than they probably do it when they're at home, to throw a towel on a bed. It's mad. I despise it. But this hotel we were at, they don't open up the pools until 9. And it was a lot better. And also, if they see towels left on a bed longer than half an hour, they pick them up and they move them, which I think is brilliant. I think hotels should do that more. But even yesterday on our last day, there was people finding ways of cutting corners. Like, it was just, there are always people trying to do that. But yeah, it was a good holiday, but I just, the repetitiveness of it starts to grind me down after 4 or 5 days. And you get this feeling in your stomach of, like, the food, I ate really healthy. Like, it was really, I love fish, like sea bass, tuna, really. I didn't eat any red meat the whole week I was there. It was all fish. The salads were amazing, and yeah, breakfasts were brilliant. But even though you're eating decent food, it's the volume of it. I got, by the fourth day, I just had this constant feeling of being full, gluttony. So yeah, I'm glad to be back. I'm ready to go back to work. Anyway, I've just been talking at you there for ages. I don't know whether you enjoyed it or not, but some people do. I certainly enjoy your company. Have a great evening. We're back tomorrow with the normal 10 o'clock show, looking at the week ahead. I've got some very exciting things coming up on the channel, actually. Now the World Cup's out the way. We've been doing our own transfer business on here and on That's Football. It's going to start getting announced soon. Certainly better than Man United's. In fact, our transfer window is better than anything United have done in the last 20 years. So we've got some really exciting stuff to tell you. Being a member is going to be a big thing. So shout out to people like Owen McGarvey and Tibor and everybody else. Dav says, unpopular opinion, but let's go get Enzo Fernandez. Oh, I'd do that. There'll be more after shows. Yeah, we sort of bring them back mainly for sort of end of July, August. Mal says, bad show today, bad arguments. And yet you've probably been here an hour and 20 minutes. And you stayed for the after show as well. So, and it's Saturday night, which says a lot about you. You're beta. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you all at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.